I'm Faith Middleton, and this show is about the richness of life. Thanks for listening in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. Find the books, people, recipes, restaurants, value wines, and easy cocktails we feature online anytime at WNPR.org. Click on Programs for the Faith Middleton Show. We always tell you during fundraising that you can have a book sent to your door with our thanks. And as you probably know by now, the staff and I work hard to find the best for you year after year. Especially delighted to tell you about this recommendation. Will Schwalbe and his mother, Marianne Schwalbe, were lifelong readers, and so when they learned that Will's mother had terminal cancer, they formed a book club for two. Will's memoir about the experience is called The End of Your Life Book Club. It is beautiful. You will long remember Will's wise mother, Marianne, and you just might feel, as I do, that you can't wait to dive into the titles they chose to read together, from classic literature to current bestsellers, from poetry to mysteries, from the fantastic to the spiritual. This memoir reminds us how books can be comforting, astonishing, illuminating, changing the way we connect with the world around us. It is Will's love letter to his mother, yes, but also a love letter from Will and his late mother to us. They are saying this to us. Through reading, we have the chance to create meaning out of our unpredictable lives. Will Schwalbe, thanks for being on the show and writing this.
Oh, thank you so much, Faith. Thank you.
So you and your mother, as I mentioned, lifelong readers, and as grown-ups too, I love the scene that you describe where at any point, if you wanted to get out of something, you just had to act as you normally did, as if you were concentrating on the pages of a book. You'd be excused.
Yes. When we were growing up as kids, I liken it to the role that churches played as sanctuary, that anything that you had done wrong or any chore that you had left undone, you had a grace period as long as your face was genuinely buried in a book.
It's not that you all didn't do other things. You all led very accomplished lives in your family and still do. But this picture of your mother and the rest of you on a weekend grabbing something comfortable, maybe a hot drink for the side table, and spending the weekend reading. What a dream that is.
Those were such happy memories, and still my favorite way to spend a weekend day is curled up on the sofa with some kind of wonderful beverage and reading. And so many people say to me that they don't have time to read anymore, and I ask them when they read, and they say, well, I try to read before I go to bed at night. And I say, well, that's, you're exhausted. Of course you're only going to make it a page or two. And just to set aside, to make it a priority again, maybe to set the alarm an hour earlier or just decide to stay in an evening and read is a great way to rediscover the joy that books can give us.
How did it happen that your mother and you learn that she has terminal cancer and that you form this book club for two?
Well, my mother was a great humanitarian and was a refugee advocate. She was director of an organization called the Women's Refugee Commission. So she traveled all over the world, and she had just come back from a trip to Pakistan and Afghanistan, a refugee mission, and she did not feel well. And months went by with them thinking it was this, that, or the other thing, and finally they discovered it was stage 4B pancreatic cancer. And this is the most lethal cancer there is. And our lives were turned upside down, and they became all about doctor's appointments and tests and chemo. And my whole family, everybody pitched in, my father, my sister, my brother, and I, we all went to appointments with Mom, but I very frequently went with her to her chemo appointments. And it was really the very first time I went with her. We started talking about books, and I somewhat jokingly said, you know, if we keep meeting like this and we talk about books, it's kind of like a book club.
And she was all for that.
She was. She loved books. She loved reading. And she realized right away, too, that when we were reading together, we weren't a sick person and a well person. We were a mother and a son enjoying and sharing books. It brought an incredible sense of normalcy to to a very abnormal situation.
Mm. But it also, in terms of the books, is the best book club to read about. I mean, with my hands on your book, I was just swept away hearing the two of you discuss a particular title. It didn't matter that I hadn't read many of these. It made me want to read them so much. And I think that has to do with both of your perceptions about what was important to you in a particular book.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, Faye. Thank you. One of the things that's very important to stress is, since my mother loved books so much and I love books so much, we really wanted to read the way we always did. This wasn't one of those stunts where you say, I'm going to read the entire Loeb Classical Library or the Encyclopedia Britannica. We read for fun, and we read to learn things and to experience new things. So we read books like Crossing to Safety by Wallace Stegner, but we also read The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo by Stieg Larsson. We read the wonderful poetry of Mary Oliver. We read mysteries like ones by Donna Leone. And in every book, really every book, we found something to love or marvel at or something to learn or connect us more closely with each other. And I really think that's one of the great things that books can do, is teach you about the world around you, but teach you more about yourself.
Well, here's the scene from your memoir. Your mother has just given you 1,000 splendid sons. And her name is Marianne. Let me stop referring to her as just
yes,
your mother.
Marianne.
She would have raised an eyebrow. So she gives you the book, 1,000 Splendid Sons. And she had also told you about The Kite Runner. You both read this, although this is one of the times when you disagree about its importance. But here's what is so wonderful about what you've done. You say that, it seems like, as the book club, the you two-member book club, it gave you a chance to reconnect with her wisdom, the values that she had passed along in your life, to remind you of that as time went on and you read together. You write, Mom had always taught all of us to examine decisions by reversibility. That is, to hedge our bets. When you couldn't decide between two things, she suggested you choose the one that allowed you to change course if necessary.
Yes, that was exactly the kind of wisdom that she was always giving us, and that when I wrote this book, I wanted to be there so I could remind myself of it. My mother felt very strongly about that, and if you were contemplating making a change in your life or going to a place, she would say, you know, if you don't go, you'll never know what you missed, but if you go, you can always come back.
Hmm. So we have in this book your mother's wisdom, and I so appreciate her. I mean, you must hear endlessly, Will, that either people wish they could know her face to face, or, which is what your book does, or I think maybe a lot of us wish we could be her.
Oh, that's very nice to hear. And,
yeah.
And one of the things that's been so amazing about traveling around the country and talking to people about the book and about the role books play in their lives and about their families is, I think our country, our world, is filled with heroes. They're filled with extraordinary people in our communities who give of themselves, and they work in schools, and they work in hospitals, and they work with refugees, or they work in education. And as a culture, we don't value these people enough. So my mother wasn't a famous person. I was very proud of her, but she wasn't famous. And one of the things that I want this book to do is help us celebrate all of the amazing people in our lives who do so much for us and for other people.
The quiet heroism is what you're talking about.
Exactly.
You say in your book, and this is Will Schwalbe, he is author of this memoir. I call it The End of Your Life Book Club. It is an enriching story about what happened when Will and his mother, Marianne, learned she had a terminal illness. They formed a book club for two, and we learn how the books affected each of them, opened their minds and hearts, as good books do. I think you'll long remember this memoir. You'll want to read every book that they read together, and there is a list of them at the back of the book. Classics, mysteries, spiritual fiction, nonfiction. I think they remind us that Goodreads can create meaning out of our unpredictable lives. That's putting it mildly. You say in the book, I remarked to Mom how all the books we were reading at this point shared not just length, because you were reading big books, but a certain theme. And that theme was fate and the effects of the choices people make. And your mother says, I think most good books share that theme.
Yes, yeah. And one of the things that prompted that is after a diagnosis, like Mom had, of terminal cancer, you can't help but think as a person, as a family, if only we'd done that, if only we'd done this, why didn't she go to the doctor earlier? And one of the great comforts of reading great literature that deals with the theme of fate, as Mom said, is so much, or in fact almost all great literature does, is that it puts your own feelings in context. And you get to test what you're feeling against the experiences of other people, real and imagined. And it made us feel less alone, less scared. It made us feel much more connected to each other, but really much calmer.
We're going to take a break in about a minute. Would you say a little something about Marjorie Morningstar?
Marjorie Morningstar came as a big surprise to me because when I asked my mother her favorite book of all time, it was Gone with the Wind, but I pushed her a little farther, and close second was Marjorie Morningstar by Herman Wouk, who is still alive and still writing, wrote The Winds of War, of course, and Caine Mutiny. And it is really a book about a young woman who is desperate to reinvent herself and who comes up against the limitations set on women in her time. And it's about assimilation and anti-Semitism, and it is a rich, rewarding, amazing novel, and it's the kind of book that I hope my book helps people rediscover.
What a thing to do, Will. I'm struck once again by how reading these books together enabled the two of you to have a kind of level of communication that is pretty hard when there's this big imbalance. One is living and one is not going to be living. And you don't know what to say when, you know, which things the person wants to talk about. You even read books about that.
We did. We read an extraordinary book called The Etiquette of Illness, which is really the book that helped get me a language so that I knew how to talk to my mother or any person who isn't well in a more sensitive manner. Mm.
Okay, hang on for me, Will, okay, because we're going to come back to you in just a few minutes. We would like to tell you as you're listening that you can have this book sent to your door with our great, great thanks. And I'm telling you, it will brighten your life. It is the End of Your Life Book Club is ironically very much about living. Here's the toll-free number if you'd like us to send it to you, and thanks for your contribution to keep this show and everything you hear on WNPR on the air. 1-800-584-2788.
That's right, 1-800-584-2788. I'm Jeff Cohen here with Faith Middleton, and we're taking a few minutes in this really interesting conversation, Faith. I have to say, I'm sitting here with a copy of the book, and I'd like to take it for a spin and leave the studio with it. You know, one thing that Will said that really struck me was just talking about how books, I mean, on the one hand, it seems obvious, and then on the other hand, when you hear it said, it's very poignant that books teach you about the world around you, but they also teach you about yourself as you're reading them. It may sound trite, but that's one way we like to think about public radio, too. We bring you the world, and in experiencing all these different stories from all these different places across the world, even in your own community and from authors maybe just in your backyard, that you learn more about yourself. And public radio is valuable that way, we think, and we hope you think it is too. So, look, give us a call if public radio is something you want to keep supporting. If you want to hear more of the Faith Middleton Show, which I know you do because you're listening now, give a call, 1-800-584-2788. You can also pledge online at WNPR.org.
There's an appendix at the back of the book. Of course, I began, not realizing that, started underlining all the books and thinking, I'm going to reread this, I'm going to read that. And then I come upon it as I finish, and there they all are. Louisa May Alcott, Little Women, Alighieri, Purgatorio, and Russell Banks, Continental Drift. It goes on and on for pages. what rich lives these folks have, please allow us to brighten your life by sending this book to your door in thanks for your contribution, one-time contribution of $60. This is one of the books to treasure in a lifetime. It is a very unusual way to talk about books and to focus on what matters in a life, what wisdom is for one person, and how universal it is when you hear it coming out of the mouths of Marianne and Will sitting together at the end of her life. So here's our number, 1-800 toll-free 584-2788.
Yeah, you know, Faith, whenever I'm here pitching with you, I always think, you know, I'm a reporter. I work on daily news stories. But one thing that public radio does here in Hartford that and in Connecticut that is unique is three daily talk shows. Mm-hmm. And if you're tuning in now and if you're a loyal listener, you know we've got three. We've got Where We Live with John Dankosky. We've got Faith Middleton, and we've got the Colin McEnroe Show. And these are really tent posts of our coverage and really, really hold up what we bring to you. And it's unique that we can bring them all to you every day without fail. And it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of precious resources from all the producers and the hosts who work on these shows. It's not easy to do. It doesn't come for free, but we want to keep doing it. So if you support these shows and you support this station, you want to hear more of Faith Middleton's interesting discussions with authors and chefs and everybody else, give us a call. 1-800-584-2788. You can pledge online at WNPR.org. And for, like Faith said, for $60, you can get a copy of this great book sent to you. But there's all kinds of different pledge levels and gifts we can send you. But the most important thing is that you pick up the phone and call and be as generous as you can. We know this isn't the easiest time financially. Figure out what works for you. Figure out if your public radio is an important part of your life. And if you're listening now, I'm sure it is. And give us a call. 1-800-584-2788.
And thanks. Find what we talk about on the show online anytime at WNPR.org. Click on programs to find the Faith Middleton Show. Will Schwalbe is author of the memoir, The End of Your Life Book Club. It is the most enriching story about what happened when Will and his mother, Marianne Schwalbe, learned that she had a terminal illness. They formed a book club for two. And we learn how the books affected that they read every kind imaginable. Affected each of them, opened their minds and hearts to the world, to each other. These books did what good books do. And it certainly made me, in reading this book, want to have the same experience. And Will, I wanted to tell you a story. My partner read your book, gave it to her mother, who is 94, who then gave it to her other daughter, and then it spread throughout the family. And so now they're having an entire family discussion about all these books and which ones they'll read. So you've set something off here in the world. Probably this is happening all over.
Oh, I'm so thrilled to hear that, Faith. That is the nicest reaction possible. And one of the things that's made me happiest about talking to people about this book is people are realizing you don't have to wait until a family member or a friend is ill to form this kind of book club and to bond with each other over books and to connect over books. And in fact, I hope one of the messages people take away is do it now. Now is the moment to start trading books and talking about books with someone you love and forming your own two-person book club.
When you mentioned you spoke about even this book, Etiquette of Illness, and I could imagine that was especially helpful to you. There's a subhead on that was what to say when you can't find the words. And you write, but it's really about what to do when you feel scared that doing something, if it turns out to be the wrong thing, might be worse than doing nothing at all. That little bit of wisdom that you picked up from that particular book, I could see you calling on it time and again in your life through this book.
Oh, absolutely. That book is so, it's by a woman named Sue Halpern, and it's so wise. And some of the things I learned from it, it taught me to say to my mother, or to, in fact, anybody who's going through any kind of trial, do you want to talk about how you're feeling? Not how are you feeling, which is intrusive and you have to give some kind of an answer, but just simply, do you want to talk about how you're feeling? And you know, some days my mother would say, yes, I really do. And some days she would say, not today. And maybe that's because she talked about it too much already, or maybe that was just because she was busy living and enjoying her life and did not at that moment want to focus on her illness. But that one piece of information is the kind of wisdom that Mom and I found in so many books.
Electronic books are useful on devices when we need them. But you say in your book, one of the many things I love about bound books is their sheer physicality. Electronic books live out of sight and out of mind, but printed books have body and presence. And I find that so true. In my life, too, there's something about, as I'm doing right this second, holding your book in my hands.
Yes, there is something about physical books, and physical books find you. I literally stumble over books when I need them sometimes. There's one story I tell in this book about a very dark night I had where I stumbled across my copy of The Hobbit by J.R. Tolkien, and I flipped it open just randomly to a page, and a paragraph leapt out at me. And it was just the paragraph I needed to read at just that moment. And I go to my bookshelf, and titles leap out at me, or I knock over a stack of books, and there's the book I need that second. Mm-hmm. And that's physical books. They do that. Electronic books. And I love electronic books, and I read electronic books, but electronic books can't do that.
That Tolkien experience also enabled you and your mother to talk about what you were like as a child,
yes,
that she didn't want to hear another single word about Tolkien, because you said, what if we read that? And she said, no, I've had quite enough of that, thank you very much. And there was, you know, more conversation about what you were like as a child.
Yeah, I was one of those super annoying little children who just become so obsessed with Tolkien that they write their name in ancient runes. And at one point I even asked my parents, could I please smoke a clay pipe just like Bilbo Baggins? And they said, absolutely not.
So there's a moment of a kind of difficulty that you have in discussing something with your mother, and you can see that on her face. So you quickly bring the conversation back to books. I think you're sitting in her chemo treatment, and you start talking about David Halberstam. I know your family knew him. You knew him. His book, The Coldest Winter. And as you're discussing it, you say, that's one of the things books do. They help us talk, but they also give us something we all can talk about when we don't want to talk about ourselves.
Yes. And I think that's so important. So much of our conversation every day is strictly about ourselves. I like this. I don't like that. This irritated me. This gives me pleasure. And it's wonderful to talk about yourself. It's a very pleasurable topic, but there are times when you're going through something difficult or when there's something painful in the air that you want to talk to people and you want to connect, but you just don't want to talk about yourself. And books allow you to do that. So we could talk about David Copperfield and Little Emily, or we could talk about the Korean War that we learned about in Halberstam's Coldest Winter, or we could talk about the wonderful characters from P.G. Woodhouse, like Jeeves. And it was something delightful and interesting and important to talk about at a time when we really didn't feel up to talking about ourselves.
So it's not just your story. And for each of these books, you will say a little something about the book. You set it in context so that whether you've read it or not, you're in with the whole flow of this. And it is just enough, I think, to get us as readers, if we haven't read it, to say, oh, that sounds interesting. It's what you want a book show to do. That sounds interesting. I think I'll pick that up.
Oh, I'm so thank you, Faith. I really tried hard to talk about books in a way that if you hadn't read the book, it would give you enough information and maybe intrigue you, but not so much that you felt like you were around two people who were talking about a third person you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I also just am naturally someone who can't stop talking about books. So we found so many wonderful books to recommend to each other that I hope people will have as much fun of the books we discovered as we had with them.
How many times did you read Paul Revere? Was it your mother who reminded you of that when you were...
Yes. I used to mark it with little check marks, almost like you mark, in the movies when someone's in prison and they scratch the number
on the wall.
They've been in. I read it endlessly, and I really lobbied my mother to have us read it one more time, but she put her foot down on that. That was a wonderful book, Paul Revere and the World He Lived In by Esther Forbes. And a childhood book I'd loved had been Johnny Tremaine. Mm-hmm. So I talk about Johnny Tremaine, and if there is a young person in your life who has not read Johnny Tremaine, that is a heck of a book to give any young person.
You say, I sometimes think Mom had a secret plan to encourage us to read beyond our level. She would announce that certain books were a little old for us, and nothing made us read them faster. I read the autobiography of Malcolm X when I was 10, and she was right. It was too old for me, and when I returned to it later, I was amazed to discover how much I'd missed. Zoot Suits were about the only thing that had lodged in my mind. We discovered by ourselves other books that were too old for us. Fear of Flying by Erica Jong, which has just been republished, when I was 11, and both shocked and fascinated me with its descriptions of anonymous screwing, as did Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Sex But Were Afraid to Ask, a book Mom and Dad didn't, as far as we could discover, have. But other parents did and kept it securely tucked away, only for it to be unearthed and pawed over by their little no-neck monsters and us. So you talked about everything with your mother at this time in her life.
At this time in her life, we did some conversations more awkward than others. Mm-hmm. Even way into our adulthood, I was always a little embarrassed when we were talking about books that veered towards sex. At one point, we read a new book by Ian McEwan called On Chesil Beach.
Right.
And I found myself avoiding the parts of it that were getting a little purple just because I have any child, I think, is embarrassment mm-hmm. about that. But
and your mother didn't press it on you?
No. But I think we really were able to talk about an enormous range of topics. And I really credit my mother, and I credit the books for giving us a way of doing that. I'm so glad you read that passage, Faith, because I do think one of the great ways to get your children reading is to take a couple of titles and declare loudly that those books are too old for them.
You ask your mother a question about being a woman in the time of her life. And she said, I do think back on my wonderful headmistress at Brearley, the one who told us we could have everything we wanted. She always said, girls, you can have a husband and a family and a career. You can do it all. And when you three children, your mother's talking to you, were little, and I was trying to go to all your school events and make things for your bake sales and do my full-time job and look after you when you were sick and look after your father and cook dinner and make sure the house was tidy and everything else, I would think about what we'd been told as girls and just keep on going, even though I was exhausted so much of the time.
Yes, that was very much my mother's life when we were growing up, and there's a funny coda to that story, because years later at a reunion, she saw the headmistress who had told her this, and the headmistress said somewhat apologetically, oh, yes, I still believe that, but I think I forgot to tell you all that you would need a lot of help.
So what happens with Olive Kitteridge?
Olive Kitteridge is a terrific book by Elizabeth Strout, and it's really in some ways linked stories. And I think one of the reasons Mom fell so in love with that book is it's a book about a certain kind of a school teacher. I think in some ways it probably reminded her of her headmistress, that kind of prickly, high standards, devoted teacher that so many of us have had in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Some of the books that you read together, well, one is Jon Kabat-Zinn's book, Full Catastrophe Living, which is so amazing as a book. What did you all think of that?
We just thought that was an astonishing book, and read a lot of other things by Jon Kabat-Zinn, who is a doctor and a scientist, but who really became a proponent for the power of mindfulness, of being present. And I really learned from my mother and from Jon Kabat-Zinn the importance of being with people in the moment, about not interrupting them constantly and not interrupting ourselves constantly, and how important it is in the modern world we live in to focus on the people in our lives and the things that matter.
All right, Will, stay where you are. We're going to take a quick break and then come back for more conversation with you as we talk about this book that is a treasure. It is called The End of Your Life Book Club by Will Schwalbe, S-C-H-W-A-L-B-E. And it is about the time he spent after learning that his mother was terminally ill, the time they spent together having a book club for two. Will went to many, many of her chemo treatments with her, and this is the way, reading together, so many books that they found new places of conversation, growth within themselves, despite that her life was coming to an end. There's a list of all the books they read, and she's so incredible, and so is Will, that you think, well, if this worked for them, I think I should read all of these. We would be happy to send this book to your door with our thanks for a one-time $60 contribution. Here's the toll-free number, 1-800-584-2788. And I'm with one of the most talented people at this station, Jeff Cohen.
Faith, that's very kind of you. And I'm sitting here listening to you and your conversation, and it's talking about, you know, discovering books and rediscovering books at the end of life, certainly. But and it's made me think about my own reading habits, which are poor, I would say the best. But I also have the benefit of having two young girls in my house who are learning to read, and to see their excitement into books. I have my older one, who's now in second grade, is really just digging into this whole series of books, and it's really inspiring to me to experience books through her. And that's really going through my mind as I'm listening to this conversation on the other end of the life age spectrum. So public radio gives you the chance to have all these sorts of synapses in your head go off as you're listening, and it's a great way to keep your brain active, to listen to these intriguing discussions that will always interest you and never bore you. So give us a call, 1-800-584-2788, and say, you know what, I want to hear more interesting discussions with authors and chefs and people in the news, and this is why you turn to public radio. This is why you're listening now. So give us a call, 1-800-584-2788. Like Faith said, for a pledge of $60, that's just $5 a month, we will send you this book, The End of Your Life Book Club by Will Schwalbe. There are lots of other ways we can thank you, but mostly we can thank you by continuing to bring you this great content. 1-800-584-2788.
Jeff, this was, it seems to me, a bookend experience that Will had with his mother, Marianne, that as children they read together, the family and the mother, and then here she is at the end of her life and they're still doing it. That's a life between two covers right there.
Undoubtedly.
So please, if you would like to find out what fascinated them, a little bit about each of these books. We all love to take a tour. We know from the book show that I do that people love to hear about great reads. If you're at a party, you can always start a conversation by asking what are people reading and why did they love it. That's what this book is. And you appreciate also the preciousness of time and that these books make us understand ourselves and the world in new ways. They enlarge us. That's the experience of a great read. So toll-free, $60, allow us to send you one heck of a read. The End of Your Life Book Club by my guest, Will Schwalbe. 1-800-584-2788. Call right now and we will ship it right off to you.
That's right. It's 1-800-584-2788. We'll get you this book just as soon as we can, and you'll have something to really start sharing maybe within your own book club, with your own family. Give us a call, 1-800-584-2788. Support public radio. Support the Faith Middleton Show and all these wonderful programs that we bring you each and every day, and thanks.
You can tweet us at FaithWNPR or join the conversation with us on Facebook. Search The Faith Middleton Show. Thanks to you for listening and to our talented team, senior producer Lori Mack and producer Jonathan McNichol. I also want to thank my guest, Will Schwalbe. He is author of this memoir, The End of Your Life Book Club. Everybody has been talking about this for the past year. It's such an enriching story about what happened when Will and his mother, Marianne Schwalbe, we learned that she had a terminal illness, and they formed a book club for two. And we see how the books affected each of them that they read together and opened their minds and hearts as good books do. You're going to remember this memoir, I'll tell you that. You know, Will, I was thinking about the scene in the book. We just heard Jeff mentioning this, that this is having an effect on him, listening to this conversation about his own kids. And I think of the scene you describe in the book. Your mother is downstairs at a party. She has forgotten to come up, as she always did, to read a bedtime story to you. And that bond from that reading together was so important to you. Do I remember that you were hysterical crying?
Yes, I was a little kid, and I have a brother and I have a sister, and we each got our own story every night. And this night, she just forgot. And I was sobbing hysterically because that bedtime story moment was so important to us and such an extraordinary opportunity for us as little children. And finally, I think one of the guests heard me screaming hysterically and sent Mom up. And even at the end of her life, I asked her, Mom, do you remember when that happened? And she said, oh, sweetie, how could I forget? And to this day, I don't know if she meant how could I forget to come up and read you the story, or how could I forget that night when you screamed so much? But I'm so glad you brought that up, Faith, because I think that experience of reading to your child is your child's first experience of a book club. It's that opportunity to share a book with someone and to discuss the book, and therein great book clubs are born.
You say in the book, it's incredibly hard for me to ask and to listen, really listen, and not try to prompt an answer that feeds my innate sense of optimism, my hope that it's always possible for things to be a little better as opposed to a steady slide from worse to still worse. And what mother wants to disappoint her son to be feeling worse when he is so desperately wanting her to be feeling better? And so you talk about a copy of Joan Didion's book, The Year of Magical Thinking. And I thought, oh, how brave of them to read this one.
That was a very important book to both of us. It's a very stark book, but a very loving book immediately following the death of her husband, Joan Didion's journey through grief. And that's a book about grief, and we was too early to grieve. We were still living. But one of the things that I learned is that when you are with someone dying, you are trying to do many things at once. You are remembering the past, you're living the present, but you are, in fact, grieving for the future. You're grieving for all of the things that you won't experience.
But here's what you say after reading a very important part of Joan Didion's book. You say, I found myself immersed in the book and turning frequently to this passage. Mom was not dead. She was very alive. I was sad, but not yet lonely. And I had an opportunity to do and say things so that I wouldn't feel regret. I had the chance to acknowledge and assuage Mom's pain and helplessness and physical humiliation. That's easier said than done. Mom was both dying and living at the same time. She wanted to talk about her friends and her work and the grandchildren and real estate and the books we were reading, and about music and movies and the traffic and funny stories and old times, and about my business. And the list was huge. She wanted to spend time with me and all her family, but meet new people too.
Yes. Yes. And that gets right to the heart of why I called the book The End of Your Life Book Club, because Mom made me realize that we are all in this end of our life book club, and there's not a single one of us who knows the last book we'll read or the last conversation we'll have. And so it's really a plea to make that count. And we could spend our entire lives mourning the fact that we are going to die, or we could spend them living. And over the course of these 2 years and countless conversations, Mom really taught me to live.
There is an idea that we all have in our heads, and you've put the lie to this, that you and your mother, about you know you have so much time left. And that's painful, but there's also a gift in it. And so we all picture that someone who knows, well, I'm going to die, you know, fairly soon, starts reading very important books, you know, in neon. And here you are reading mysteries and kids' books and, you know, funny ones, things that aren't, you know, Sue Grafton, things that aren't profound.
Exactly. We were living, and living is reading, and living and reading or reading all different kinds of things. And to spend whatever time we have left just reading deeply serious, profound things, that's not life. Life is that sometimes, and funny things sometimes, and mysteries, and all different kinds of books. And Mom, in whatever time she had left, wanted to live, and that meant the full range of types of books she'd always loved.
What is it like, Will, to have gone all over talking about your mother in this way? You know, there's a thing that can happen where we turn the one we love, who's died, into a kind of saint. And grief counselors would tell us how important it is to remember the person in the fullness of their lives. You know, our challenges, our strengths, our weaknesses. What has happened to you as this book memorializes your mother and your relationship?
Well, it's an interesting phenomenon, but I think what it's helped me avoid is the forgetting. And I think for any of us who've lost someone we love, and just about everybody listening will have lost someone they loved, if not more than that, the sadness often comes from going weeks without thinking of them. And so this book has allowed me to continue the conversations with my mother and to smile at her foibles. I mean, many people have commented to me about how she liked to plan and control things. And yes, that was very much part of her too. But I enjoy remembering the fullness of the person that was my mother. When I get sad is when time goes by and I realize I haven't thought of her. That's like she's dead all over again.
My sister, Sally, is my best friend, and I can start physically shaking with just a whisper of a thought that something would happen to her. And I think about what you have done with your mother here and the way you have done it and how beautiful that would be for me, what you've done, if I could do something like that for my sister, that it would in many ways keep her alive for me and her beauty alive for other people too. Do you feel that?
I really feel that. And I feel there's so many of us who want to talk about people we love who may not be here anymore. And as a society, we're not very good about that. Out of awkwardness or fear of making each other sad, we shut down those conversations. And I feel it's so important that we make a space in our culture for talking about the people we love who are still here, as well as the people we love who aren't here anymore.
From the list of books you read together, Alice Munro, Too Much Happiness, David Sedaris, Tim Russert's Big Russ and Me, Marilynne Robinson's Housekeeping, Gilead, Home, Thomas Pynchon, Reynolds Priest, Feasting the Heart, The Caretaker by Harold Pinter, Randy Pouch's The Last Lecture, Mary Oliver, you mentioned, Edith Nesbit, Barack Obama's Dreams from My Father, Somerset Maugham, Herman Melville, Billy Budd, James Michener, Arthur Miller's Death of a Salesman. Some of these are surprising, and some are books that I have read but so long ago. And I know you reread some books together, and I think, well, it's like a conductor conducting young and then conducting later and seeing something in that contrast. Did you have that experience, the two of you?
Yes, yeah, we did. And I liken books in this way to new and old friends, that it's you want to mix them up, and how wonderful it is when you have a party and you have maybe your dearest pal from grade school along with someone terrific you just met a week ago. And when you mix up Arthur Miller with a terrific young writer named Victor Laval and read them one after another and talk with somebody about it, it's like that great dinner party, old friends, new friends.
What about, I was talking to Jeff earlier about this bookend experience that I see in what you've done, that you and your mother read when you were small, and here you are coming to the end of her life and doing the same thing again, connecting with each other in a profound way.
Yes.
And in an ordinary way.
Yeah. It is, bookends is a wonderful way of putting it, and also the fact that books, you can be quiet with a book. That at the end of Mom's life, there was much that she couldn't do. In some ways, your horizons narrow, but books open them up again. And with books, we could travel to new places and do all the same things, just as you can as a kid. As a little kid, you might be stuck in the house and you're only allowed out a certain amount of time and you're quite supervised, but books can take you anywhere. And when Mom was really very ill at the end and it was very hard for her to go out, books could take her anywhere.
There's a point where she reads, the two of you read, The Elegance of the Hedgehog. And it just made me smile. I thought, and this is a point at which, for the first time, your mother is saying, I just am not interested in a book. I don't know what to read. She'd pick one up and put it down again, as we all know can happen. You know, there are times in your life when this happens.
Yeah.
So tell me about The Elegance of the Hedgehog. Why?
We came across it first. It's a fantastic novel written originally in French and translated into English. About a little girl who isn't so sure she wants to go on with life. In fact, she's quite sure she doesn't. And the sort of concierge, the keeper of a Paris apartment building, and a Japanese man who, in some sense, saves both their lives, even though the book has a very sad but still uplifting ending. And it just, Mom fell in love with it. And one of the things it did is it allowed her from her room to travel to Paris.
This is one of my favorite books, by the way, so I was so delighted. You say in your book about your experience, we redecorated, because there's a great apartment in this book, we redecorated all sorts of literary apartments and fit our lives into and around them. See, this is how books make us travel and expand ourselves. Will Schwalbe, thank you so much for being on the show, for writing this book. You've given the world a treasure.
Oh, well, Faith, thank you so much for having me on and for all you do to spread the word about books and authors and so many other things.
Oh, my pleasure, Will. Thank you. Take care. This is Will Schwalbe, the End of Your Life Book Club. It is so good. The list of all the books that he read with his mother at the end of her life, just every imaginable kind, and so enriching to hear about them. If you would like us to send this book to your door about their experience together, we'd be delighted to do so, especially delighted. If you can join us at the $60 level, make a gift to the station to keep everything you hear on the air. Off this goes to you with our thanks. 1-800-584-2788. Jeff Cohen.
You know, Faith, I was listening to your interview here, and it really, there's really no way that conversation couldn't have touched anyone listening to it. And it's not just because it's about a book. This book, and I haven't read it, but from your discussion, it seems so personal, both to Will Schwalbe and his mother, but to anyone who could experience it along with them. And immediately my thoughts were going to my own family and caring for my parents and caring for my children and the experiences that we share and how you really can share something through a book. When you may not be able to share an experience otherwise.
Yeah, that's so true, Jeff. There's this thing that books often do to us, even the simplest books that entertain us, and then the big ones, you know. There's something they do when we go into that world. They're so hard to find words for it. But Will has done such a good job of finding the language about that experience, about the joy of reading, the connection that reading offers us with ourselves, the parts of ourselves we know and don't know, with the rest of the world, and these characters who aren't alive but are in some special way. So we'd love to send the End of Your Life Book Club to you as thanks for your $60 contribution. 1-800-584-2788.
Faith, I was just thinking that very same thing because I'm reading a book now, and I've been reading it since the summer, so I'm not, like I said, I'm not the fastest or the most dedicated reader, but someone just died in this book, and it is so powerful, even though you know it's made up.
Yeah.
And Will's story here is a very personal one about something that's not made up. I'm actually really interested to take it for a spin. So, look, this is very personal. This is a very personal conversation. And we're here to take a few minutes out of it and just remind you that we bring you these conversations because we want to, because we think it's the kind of thing that you want to hear more of. Honestly, you're not going to find anything like this anywhere else on your radio dial. You're going to find it here on public radio on WNPR. And if you want to hear more of it, we really do need your support. This is the time of the year. We don't come to you very often, but when we do, we're serious. We need your support to help keep things going. So give us a call, 1-800-584-2788. And like Faith said, for a pledge of $60, you could get The End of Your Life Book Club, written by Will Schwalbe, who you've just heard from. Sounds like an intriguing book.
Also, it's such a great book about connection among friends, among family members, the things you can find to talk about thanks to a book that you may agree with, not agree with. That certainly was the case with Will and his mother, but always rich conversation to have about it, laughs to have, maybe a few tears. Just such an important book. The End of Your Life Book Club by Will Schwalbe, S-C-H-W-A-L-B-E, and we will send it to you with our thanks for your $60 contribution. Thank you so much for your support and for listening. 1-800-584-2788.